You guys have some good, safe plans. Oh, I got the thumbs up, so I'm going to start. So, all right. I've thought a lot about faith recently. Faith is a term which can be confusing at times. Sometimes when I hear people talking about faith, to me, it sounds more like they're describing a force of will, something that they feel and perhaps can direct to achieve a certain end. In this description, it's not unlike The Force, to reference a series of popular films. I like the complete Jewish Bible translation in the passage which Don read for us from Hebrews 11, where it is consistently rendered, trusting. Trusting God. Still, when people think of trusting God or having faith in Him, too often they talk in absolutes, as if having a little faith isn't good enough, as if it's got to be all or nothing, or it's impure, or it won't work, or God will not honor it. None of this has been my experience with faith. I've had a difficult year after a string of difficult years. It's New Year's, so I've spent a lot of time looking back. But I've found that this year and all these other years have been difficult in a good way, in a transformative way. I've found ways to grow stronger because of the struggles, and mostly I've been able to do this because of my faith in God. My faith has not always been wholehearted. By that I mean I've had a lot of emotions, a lot of ups and downs, even as I can say I had faith through it all. Depending on the day, or how I'm feeling, or what I've experienced, I might be very upset. When I'm upset, I tend to focus on the negative. I get sad and angry, and I tend toward despair. And in these states, I also tend to lash out privately at God, or to nurse a deep bitterness about life in general, and what I perceive to be God's lack of faithfulness. At times, I can be very upset that God doesn't seem to be acting, maybe that He doesn't care. These have a lot to do with my emotional state. It's rooted in my flaws as a human being. One thing that's good about not having the greatest mental state is that it forces you to work, to be introspective, to find out how to be stable and what your emotions mean. And for help with that, I see a psychologist, and that's great. So I forgot to put that in this drosh, but I don't want it to mean like just work in private, but a professional can really help, and I experience that help. So anyway, back to the drosh. I can tell you that we are not our emotional state. And for emphasis, again, we are not our emotional state. Emotions are something that we have. They are not the be-all, end-all of who we are. I found I must choose what to do with my emotions, and that I must identify not with my emotions, but with my choice. And that's what I think faith is, a choice. It's not a feeling, though, like everything in life, feelings are attached to it. Faith is what I decide to do, even when I'm angry or sad, even when I don't really feel like God is listening, don't really feel that He cares, or don't really feel that He is acting on our behalf. Sometimes I just need to be patient and learn to trust. There's that word again. And that involves just saying to myself, I may feel upset, sad, or angry, or bitter, but I decide to trust God. My feelings come around eventually. Our patriarchs and matriarchs have had similar struggles. In the Hebrews passage that Don read for us, thank you again, Don, our ancestors are lined up for us as giants of faith. Yet we know that Abraham and Sarah, when they were told of the promise of a son, they doubted. And Sarah even laughed. Abraham's faith was tested when God told him to sacrifice that very son, and again, no doubt his emotions were in turmoil, yet he decided to go forward until he was told to stop. Despite their feelings, it was their decisions that made them faithful. Jacob, no doubt, wrestled with his faith several times, and he even did with God himself. But when he wrestled with his faith, not the least of which times was when his son Joseph was reported dead by his other sons. Eventually, Joseph was restored to Jacob as if back from the dead. And in our passage tonight, he makes Joseph swear an oath to bury him in Canaan, because after all his struggling, he never lost his faith. Even concerning where he was to be buried, he identified himself with the promised and with the promised land. Joseph, too, had great faith and many struggles. I can imagine how I'd feel, almost killed by my brothers, sold into slavery, thrown in jail. And throughout it all, he still had his gift of prophecy. But that's kind of cold comfort. A way that God is to know that God's still with you because you have this gift, but still all this stuff's happening and it's not pleasant at all. But while in prison, Joseph prophesied of the release of a fellow prisoner, Pharaoh's cupbearer. Joseph asked him to help secure his release when he saw Pharaoh, but the cupbearer forgot about him for 2 years. I would have felt forgotten not only by the cupbearer, but by God as well. That would be immensely frustrating. In these examples from the Torah and from Hebrews, we can see conflicting emotions, sometimes explicitly stated, as with Sarah's doubting laughter, and sometimes implicit in the text. Yet in the midst of these conflicting emotions, we see their choices. Whatever they may have felt, they chose. They chose in faith. In the New Testament, we see one of my favorite examples of faith, given in Mark 9. A man has a son who is possessed by a spirit which causes him great pain, and obviously causes the father great pain seeing him go through that. So the man asks Yeshua to heal his son. Yeshua says, "If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Such powerful emotions, yet tied to faith. I've uttered those words in private turmoil. "Lord, I feel this way, and I can't calm down. I can't seem to help feeling so frustrated. But that's not what I choose. I choose to believe in you. I believe, O Lord, help my unbelief." I truly believe that God is faithful, and that despite appearances, He loves us, has not forgotten or abandoned us, and is acting on our behalf, even if we can't see it. Part of this is readjusting perspective. As I said before, I can be a negative person, very dark and bitter. It's very easy for me to see a glass, which, objectively speaking, is at half capacity. Yet I tend to see it as a glass half empty. And I go down a dark and doubting path. The negative emotional state feels more real to me. The doubts seem more weighty in terms of evidence on how I should think, feel, believe, and act. However, the glass, objectively speaking, holds half the water it could hold. If I were to look at other evidence and see the glass as half full and count up all the evidence that points to God having filled the glass that high, and that, again, all evidence considered, He will finish what He started, my feelings change. Half empty is not more objective than at half capacity. And in the context of all of God's faithfulness, half full might even be the most objective and the most accurate. At times I wonder if this is all just an exercise in self-delusion, where I have so much invested and so much hope riding on the outcome that I throw effort and resources after the wind. This is also accounted for in Hebrews 11, summing up a hope thousands of years old, for they sought a homeland. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and countless others have seen the glass as half full, have seen the homeland filled with their descendants living in peace in the promised land, the permanent and total remission of sins and repair of the broken human condition, and eventually the reign of God on the earth. The restoration of creation to the Garden of Eden. They saw a homeland not yet realized, and they died still expecting it, and considered themselves sojourners, aliens, temporary residents, as it says in Hebrews 11:13, still waiting on the promises, which are still not completely brought about even for us. In our portion tonight, Jacob died, and he left instructions to bury him in Canaan, his true home, even in death, making a statement of faith. Joseph died, and he did the same, asking for a burial in Canaan when Israel made her exodus. Which is just like Abraham burying Sarah in a plot that he purchased, refusing to receive it as a gift from the princes of the land. It is therefore incumbent on us to live in faith, even when our emotional state is in tatters, and that's okay if it is. It is important for us to reorient our perspective, to see the promised land which is not yet built to completion, the restoration of creation, and the restoration of the human condition as well, which is not yet accomplished, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal peace that has not yet come. Focus on what is coming. Focus on what God has done in our lives, and focus on the fact that as He has already been faithful, so He is faithful and will continue to be faithful, even when we cannot see it. Peace will follow, and we can count ourselves as having been faithful to God, even when we don't always feel like it. We have the benefit of 4 New Years in Judaism, and a 5th one that we can use too, on December 31st. It's our minhag here at Or Kadosh, or our custom, to take a time of reflection and response to God. Use it now to orient yourself to God's faithfulness in your own life and in your community's lives, the evidence that you've seen of God's faithfulness in the past, in the present, and what we can't see yet, which is what God is going to do. And use it to prepare for a new year of good choices, choices which are made in faith.